week ago, we started a short series of messages that we are entitling, Great is Thy Faithfulness, from this book, the book of Lamentations, in the third chapter. Tonight I want to return there, and as we get underway, I want us to be considering again the thought of the faithfulness of our God. Our title is simply this tonight, A Consideration of the Faithfulness of God. Last week, we took the time and we saw the context in which this truth was revealed to us. Tonight, I want you to consider with me how we know that God is faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, look again with me at verse 19. We'll read down through verse 25 and then we'll have a word of prayer. Lamentations 3 verse 19 says, Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this time to come again and consider our God, who is ever faithful, forever faithful. And that, Lord, we can cry out with our own lips, Great is thy faithfulness. So, Father, we pray tonight that you would teach us as we consider truth from your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think all of us here tonight would say that we believe that God is faithful. In fact, I think most of us here tonight, if we were to sing again the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, we would sing it with quite a smile upon our face. We believe, we claim to believe, that our God is faithful. And I want to ask you a question tonight. In what ways do you recognize that God is faithful to you? You know, it's easy in days of good and plenty to recount the faithfulness of God. Yet what I find is that when the challenges of life surround us and the troubles seem to overtake us, that one of the first thoughts that try our faith is found in a little word with a question mark, and that is the word, why? You know, the reality is, we find ourselves so often asking God, why? And in reality, I'll be honest with you, that's the easy question to ask from a human standpoint. It's easy to say, why, God? But you know, in reality, the question we ought to be asking is the word, what? Not why. We ought to be asking what the Lord would have us see or learn or grow from in these things. When things don't go our way, when they're beyond our own human comprehension, we tend to ask God why. And in many of those cases, but not all, the reality is that question why becomes an indictment on our lack of trust or belief in the faithfulness of God. If we truly believe that God was faithful in all things, and even in the midst of that hardship or trial that we are now facing or seems to be encompassing us, the question really ought to be, what, Lord, would you have me do? What, Lord, would you have me to learn through such a trial, through such a trouble? What is it, Lord, that you want to change in me? The questions really ought to be around the word what, but often we come with the why. And often that question why even comes in that kind of a tone. Why? Why, Lord? We claim to believe in the faithfulness of God. We sing, Great is thy faithfulness, with great joy on our faces when everything is good. Yet I've observed over the years, as I tend to sit on the platform and watch everyone else sing, that when folks are having trouble and a song like Great is Thy Faithfulness needs to be sung, you can almost tell who's encompassed in the trials, because their head goes down, their voice goes low, and some even refuse to sing. because they struggle with the thought, is God really being faithful to me? Tonight I want to look again at that phrase in Lamentations 3. And I want you to see with me that truly we can say, great is thy faithfulness. I want you to discover with me tonight how the Bible describes God's faithfulness toward us, that we might be able to hide these things down deep within our own heart and rely upon them in the days when we are tempted to feel that God isn't being as faithful as we once thought. I want you to begin with me, if you would, in the book of Psalm 119. I want you to turn to Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119. We're going to begin to consider how we know, or how God reveals Himself to be faithful unto us. Psalm 119. I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 75. We read, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." As we consider the faithfulness of God, I want you to understand that God reveals Himself as faithful even in the times of chastening. He is faithful to chasten. When we consider our God and we consider all that He does for us, and when you consider such a phrase in the song, "Great is thy faithfulness," I want you to be reminded, folks, that God is faithful to chasten those whom He loves. Again, the psalmist writes and says, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right." And by the way, you need to settle on that. What God decides, His judgments are right. Did you know God does not make a mistake? He does not fail. He didn't slip up. He didn't forget. He did not understand what you were going through. God's judgments are right. And the psalmist says, "Thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me." In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, we read these words, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." Now, we talked about this last week as we looked at Lamentations chapter 3. We understood, and Jeremiah came to understand, that God was faithful in bringing judgment to the people of Judah. He had told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, "If you obey my voice, I will have blessings overcome you. If you obey my commands and don't follow other gods and serve me, the blessings will overcome you." But later he said, "If you don't obey, and if you go after other gods, the curses will overcome you. I will judge." And part of that judgment was that others from another place would come and take them away captive. God, in bringing judgment to Judah, did so because He was faithful to what He had promised. And our God is faithful even when He brings judgment. We're aware that God has a purpose in judgment. And I want to remind you that that purpose is that we would be restored from sin, that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. Because we are the sons of God, God is faithful. And in that faithful, He does a work to mold us and to shape us into the image of Christ. The Bible says He is the potter and we are the clay. And it is His responsibility and His duty to make unto us, according to His perfect will, vessels unto honor. God doesn't want to just leave you a lump of clay. He wants to mold and He wants to shape. And that means sometimes He's got to cut some things away. That means sometimes He has to add pressure in order that you might be shaped and formed as He sees fit. But folks, God is faithful to chasten those whom He loves. When the world seems to be upside down, and there's only confusion about you, continue to trust in a God that is faithful. And a God that in His faithfulness, He even afflicts us for our good. You go back, folks, and you study any of the stories of anyone who had fallen into sin and God had afflicted it, and you're going to find that it was good for them. It was good for David to be afflicted of the Lord. And by the way, you and I benefited from that as we now come and we read a psalm like Psalm 51. And we can see how we are to relate unto our God. It is good for us that God would chasten those whom He loves. God is willing to correct us and to conform us to the image of His Son. But folks, God is faithful to chasten. And in His faithfulness, He even will at times afflict us. Now I want you to turn over in your Bible, please, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We understand that God's desire for Judah was that they would be brought back unto the Lord. Matter of fact, in Lamentations chapter 3, we read him briefly last week, verse 39 and 40, it says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search and try our way and turn again to the Lord." Jeremiah came to understand that God was bringing this judgment upon His people. And Jeremiah himself was going through the very trials of His people that God might draw His people back to Him. That they might repent of their sin and have the fellowship with God restored. When you and I stray and turn from the Lord, God in faithfulness convicts us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we might be brought face to face with our sin in order that we might repent and confess that sin before God and know His forgiveness. And in 1 John 1 and verse 9, we're reminded of this truth that God is faithful then to forgive. Look again what it says. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's face it. None of us enjoy coming to church, sitting in a service, and feeling conviction. None of us enjoy it. It's not a comfortable place to be when God, through the Holy Spirit, puts His hand on a certain area of your life and He says, "I want to see that changed. And I need you to confess of this sin. I want to restore you." None of us enjoy that. But it's good for us. God brings us to that point that we might recognize that He is faithful to forgive. Folks, God wants to forgive. He wants to restore. He wants you to walk in the blessing of God. He doesn't want you to be ensnared by sin and the pleasures of this world. But verse 9 tells me that I must confess my sin. And by the way, that word confess means to say the same thing. Know what it doesn't mean? It doesn't mean to offer your excuse to the Lord. Sometimes when we get caught in sin, we offer our excuse. "Well, the reason that I'm like this is because A, B, C, or D." "Well, really, the reason I'm like this is because of my upbringing. If you would have known what I went through as a child, you would understand why I have this temperament." You know, God is able to change your temperament. Do you know that? God is able to change everything about you. God is able to take your life and conform you to the image of Christ. That's His desire. "Well, the reason I'm like this is because of my wife, or my husband, or my pastor, or my friend, or this person in the church. It's because that guy did this. That's why I'm the way that I am." No, that's not true. You're the way that you are because you choose to be that way in sin. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive. And can I remind you that when God forgives, it's gone. He doesn't charge that to our account any longer. The fellowship is restored. Your sin is put away as far as east is from west. God is buried in the depths of the sea. He brings it and charges you with it no more. When you and I are tempted to think that God has waned in His faithfulness, consider that He is ever faithful to forgive and cleanse you of your sin. Now, there's never been a time in the life of a single believer that when he came with a heart of repentance and asked God to forgive, he found God wanting or unable to forgive. Why? Because God is faithful to forgive. I want you to see, thirdly with me though, that God is faithful to sympathize. There's two passages I want you to see tonight. They're both in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 tonight as we begin. Hebrews chapter 2. Our God is faithful in that He will sympathize with His people. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 17 and 18. It says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, and is able to succor them that are tempted." Now turn over to chapter 4, look at verse 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may turn mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Folks, our God is faithful as our high priest to sympathize with us. The Lord Jesus Christ came and He suffered and He died that we might have one who in all things is able to help us in time of need. That He would be able to understand and sympathize with our plight. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our infirmities. The Bible says, "He knows my frame, that we are but dust." God understands you and me. Jesus Christ cares and He sympathizes, and He is a faithful high priest in all things. Maybe you're like most of us. In time of crisis, in a time of great heartache, we begin to wonder, does anyone really understand? That's one of the temptations that sometimes folks fall into. That's sometimes some of the statements that I hear as I try to help people and counsel them if they were, "Well, Pastor, the problem is you just don't understand. No one understands what I'm going through." Do you know how utterly untrue that statement is? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, understands. He knows you and I. You may have even cried out and complained that you're alone and no one else knows what you're going through. But folks, in times like these, we have a Savior. In times like these, we need the Word of God. That we can come and be reminded that we have one who is faithful, for He is one who understands our plight. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our infirmities. He knows our lack of understanding, and He wants to help us. He sympathizes with you and with me. Won't you turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because the thoughts continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to look with me at verse 13. God not only is faithful to sympathize, but beloved, He is faithful to deliver us. Look at chapter 10, look at verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But, what are the next three words? God is faithful. What follows? and will with that temptation not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I want you to go back as we talked about the fact no one understands, no one can sympathize. By the way, God understands, and so do others around you. How do I know that? Because there is no temptation taken you that is not common to man. Your trial, your temptation is not a new one. You're not the only one that's ever gone through it. You're not the only one that will ever go through it. There are those who have gone before you that have had to go through this. There are those who will come after you that will have to face the same thing. Our temptations are common amongst man. But in it all, God is faithful. And in that temptation that you are going through, in that trial that you feel that God isn't being faithful to you, He is. And in that temptation, He's providing for you a way of escape. He is able to deliver you. Remember that in all things, God wants to conform you to the image of Christ. He wants you to be made more like His Son. God is seeking to perfect you. God is seeking to make you more mature and complete as a Christian. He is molding and shaping your life, but there is also an enemy who seeks to destroy. But God, folks, is faithful. And He provides the way of deliverance. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. As the judge of all the earth, He will do right. And God will take all things and work them together for good. Our God is faithful to deliver. You say, but I don't know that I can begin to see the way out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Finish the verse for me. And He shall direct thy path. God is faithful to deliver. And finally, I want you to see with me, God is faithful to sustain. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to look with me at verse 23 and 24. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 24. "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Our God is faithful to sustain us, to keep us. You and I have the wonderful blessing of being the children of God. We know the joy of having been called of the Father. We are looking to that blessed hope of being with Him. We're looking forward to the opportunity of one day being in heaven with God, with Jesus Christ. "Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it." God is seeking, He has called you, that you be conformed to the image of His Son. And the work that He began in you, He will perfect in you when Jesus Christ comes. "Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it." So let me ask you a question tonight. What do you have to be afraid of in what you're facing? Because, you know, the reality is the reason that we so often wane in our belief of the faithfulness of God is because of fear. But the Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Matter of fact, what should we fear? Because what can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. Understand that? Nothing. You know what the word nothing means? Nothing. Not one thing. Nothing. You know what we often do? I understand God will protect me in everything. But we live life with too many little commas and buts. We need to put a period at the end of it. God is faithful. Period. He will sustain me. Period. Nothing can separate me from His love. Period. But God, don't say that. God is faithful. And folks, you and I should be able to cry out of our heart day in and day out, "Great is the faithfulness of my God." Because it's true. And that will never change. He is faithful in all things. He is faithful to chasten when we stray. He is faithful to forgive when we confess. He sympathizes with us. He knows our needs. He is faithful to deliver us in the midst of the trials that we face. And He will sustain us. Now, I want you to take those thoughts and I want you to put them back in Lamentations chapter 3. Because folks, remember, Jeremiah isn't in a time of good and plenty. It is hardship all around. And the trials are everywhere, and the curse has encompassed the people. Yet Jeremiah is finding God to be faithful, as the Scripture declares it. It is because of His mercies that we are not consumed. Like the manna, they are new every morning. So we cried out, "Great is thy faithfulness." Folks, I hope we believe that our God truly is faithful. And I hope that we'll be able to take these things and stick them away. So that when the trial comes and we begin to look at what's going on, we're not saying, "God, why?" But instead, we're able to come and say, "Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me learn? Is this something that needs to change in me? Because Lord, I know that you're faithful to afflict me when I've strayed." And as He reveals that, understand that He is faithful, that if I confess my sin, He'll forgive me, restore me again. If that's not the case and you're still going through the hardship, the reality is you can say, "God understands what I'm going through. He sympathizes with me. This isn't new. Others have faced it. But God provides a way of escape. So I'll trust in Him with all of my heart. I don't need to lean to my understanding. He'll direct my paths." And know that He'll sustain you through it all. And one day, we'll be with Him. One day, we'll see Him and finally be like Him. God has promised it, and in faithfulness, He'll perform it. Let's pray together as we close.